Beats from the Basement on Saturday, October 21st from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Moses Mays and the Funk Family Orchestra at the Gallery Lounge, UBC on Thursday, October 26th at 8 p.m., an evening put on by AMS Events.
Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it, with Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socha's tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile. We're talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw. Talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.
Okay, everybody. How are you doing after all that?
Better than you, I think.
Better than me. Well, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. It's just I had some difficulties with the whole technology thing. The whole working
stuff. I saw, yeah.
But you saw it, that first thing there. We're doing podcasting here. Check it out.
Which means you can download this classic broadcast and listen to it again and again.
And again and again.
Which is possible now that you've recorded it like three times.
Twice. I've got it time marked twice. So actually, there was a time that we did lose about a minute and a half. You saw that, huh? That's okay.
I did, yes.
How was your day? I will say that combined, and I'm going to brag here. I have to be a jerk here. For all you people who had to get up real early and go to work today. We can laugh at them, can't we?
Sure,
today
yeah.
We're allowed. Is the average time that Wilson and I between us woke up today, I think was 11:15.
Sounds about right.
11:15. I was 10:15.
That was about 12:30.
You were about 12:30. Is I called Wilson up this morning and I went, good morning, at 12:30. I called you up at 12:30. You were like, good morning. What time did you have lunch?
3:15.
Yeah, I was 3:30. I've got a big dinner ahead, though.
Like at 10 o'clock?
No, at about... Well, they're starting at 6.
But it can go till...
Well, no, it's my grandparents are coming over, so my mom's cooked. She's got the pie going.
What kind of pie?
Apple.
Oh.
Apple pie.
Ice cream?
There'll be ice cream available. I don't think I'm going to use any.
No? Caramel syrup?
There's chocolate, some chocolate squeezy stuff. Out of a tube. It's pretty good, actually. But, so there you go.
Good stuff.
That's what I've got. Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And we got to get into it. There's lots to get into. And I see, as Wilson Wong is joining us in the studio today, I see, Wilson, you've got a little trouble with that photocopy machine over there. Your printouts didn't quite come out as hoped.
Well, that's one reason to donate some money to our station is for us to get a cartridge toner, a toner of...
We need a cartridge toner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They run about $12.
More or less.
Yeah. So we're
most likely more.
We need what you can give, folks. We need what you can give. There's actually going to be a charity fund drive going on here.
That's right. So let's get the listeners trained.
We've got a meeting next Wednesday,
We've got to go. Are you going? You got to go to one, or do you don't have to go?
I don't know. I'll
I don't
see.
Think. Oh well, you don't host a regular show.
No, I don't.
I got to go to this mandatory meeting.
Doesn't matter if you have kids or work.
No, they're on ya. They're on ya. All right. So the first half hour of our show is on UBC Sports. We have, shall I say, pissed away. Is that the proper term?
That is the correct technical term. Yes.
Pissed away the first 7 minutes. And did you, Julio Caravato, of course, he's on every week till the CFL season's over. Color commentator for BC Lions Radio. I played a song for him last week. Hank Williams Family Tradition. Hank Williams Jr.?
Yeah.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
You know the song? You do?
I don't know the song.
Okay, well, I didn't know the song. He didn't know the song. I found it a few days before, and I played it for him. He likes country, and he really liked it. Should I play a different version today? Or should I play something else?
I don't know. Maybe something country that we have in the station?
That's the question.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later. We should move on.
Yes, we should.
Well, no doubt about it, huh? All right. Have I procrastinated enough? I've done a good job? Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. Let's get into the show. And Wilson, something happened in UBC Thunderbird Athletics on the weekend that hadn't happened for 37 games?
Yeah.
Or was it 43?
41. There were two different streaks.
Yeah,
that was the whole point.
They hadn't won at home in 37 games, and it was something like 41 games since they had beaten this team overall. As keep in mind, you play this team about four times a year.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a 10-year drought.
And the home streak was 19 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. I think we can all agree. As the newly improved, and there's no doubt about it, Wilson, and this coach has done a great job since coming in. I mean, talk about building slowly but surely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, every year since he's come in, Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the men's hockey team, every year, his team has improved, and we've seen it. Whereas we're not talking about making the playoffs in sixth place in a seven-team league anymore.
Well, let's repeat that, Wilson. Repeat how many teams are in the league and how many make it, and that's a big deal.
Six out of seven.
Yeah, yeah, it was a big deal when they made the playoffs.
We're now talking about possibly challenging for home playoff spot and winning for the first time in 36 years. So, I mean, he's really brought the program into a place where we have no one here, at least, has witnessed for quite a while.
Quite a while. That's the term. That's all you can really say is quite a while. So there you have it, Wilson. What we're talking about is the perennial powerhouse. They are Alberta Golden Bears, UBC, on Friday. And what's ironic is the Vancouver home losing streak still goes on. You can still use that one.
Sure, yeah.
Because the game was won in Whistler, and I believe they actually had a sellout crowd.
They did, so it was a great...
How many people were there? We don't know.
I don't know.
But a sellout's a sellout.
Yeah, exactly.
Any way you cut it. And, you know, I think it was the week before their first home games, quote-unquote home games of the year, in South Surrey. Not that many people, I was told, showed up for that one. And there you go. They get the sellout in Whistler, a 4-3 shootout win. Now, is that a little bit of a tainted win? Because under the old system, you're shrugging. I'm shrugging too. But under the old system, Wilson,
it would have been a tie.
It's a tie.
Yeah.
So we want a regulation win.
That's the next step.
Tell us about the win, though. Big win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Alberta took the lead. They took the lead three times, actually, in a row. I mean, they scored first. UBC came back and tied it. They took the lead again. UBC came back. Stéphane Gervais scored that second goal. Kevin Seibel scored that second goal. And Mitch Bartley, when it was 3-2 with 5.5 minutes left, he scored the tying goal for UBC, and that brought him to a shootout. And then there, the goaltender, Francois Thau for UBC, stopped all three Alberta shooters, and that was it. And a whole bunch of streaks came to an end, as you said, in the beginning.
It's actually going to be fun calling those games this year. I haven't got to call any yet. We've only had one game. I do the color. We've only had one game. I had a Lions game. I don't know, because when we were making up the schedule, I could have very easily just said, by the way, I have a Lions game that night. We could have moved it.
We could have.
Very easily. I knew I had to work that night.
But we wanted to bring the home opener to the fans.
We won. Damn straight.
The sort of home opener to the fans
we couldn't have done, like, the Saturday or so. Oh, because we have that whole Friday thing now. Things are getting complicated down here, aren't they? Very complicated. Anyways, big win for the UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team. They did lose on Saturday, 3-1. But you know what, Wilson? That doesn't really matter. They've got a bye this week. And 3-3, the UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team is this year. And when's the last time they were 500? That's another thing we have to start looking at. I don't think that's been for about 30 years, is my guess. Because I remember that, like, last year they were about 4 or 5 games under.
That's right.
And that was their best season in 25 years or something like that.
So that was, as we said, you know, just slowly, slowly, but surely. I mean, every year it's been a steady improvement. And now I guess 500 would be a pretty good mark. Although I think Coach Dragicevich would argue that they really should be probably 4-2. They shouldn't have split in Lethbridge. But, you know, they're doing better than...
Take it and run.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, can't complain about that here, considering the history that we've had with UBC Hockey.
UBC Hockey going to be hosting, perhaps hosting, a playoff series this year. Where will that series be?
Hopefully Whistler.
Oh, we'll go up to Whistler. Put us up in a posh little cabin. Be pretty cool. All right, we've got our basketball players coming in, it looks like. Wilson, let's keep her going, though, right now. And the next sport I want to talk about, and then we'll get into some men's hoops. And you're calling one of their games this weekend. So, okay. Women's field hockey, Canada West champions.
That's right. UBC lost only one game all year to Victoria last game of the regular season. And then the next week, this past weekend, they went over to Victoria and tied Alberta 1-1 and then beat UVic 2-0. And it was, I think, a really satisfying win for them because they really wanted to beat Victoria, who were really the favorites to win this national championship, which is being hosted here at UBC starting November 2nd.
They were going to be in the national championship anyways, but still, a win's a win. A Canada West championship is a Canada West championship, so congratulations to the UBC Thunderbirds women's field hockey team. All right, the men have arrived. They are here. Where does he plug that in? Do you know? You got it? Attaboy. With us right now, Are you finally ready to play some regular season games? We have with us, again, because Coach is still... Yeah, you can take that one, Casey. Coach is still got the crutches on. Coach is still looking sore. Now, we're here with Vern Knopp, who was kind enough to be with us last week, and the leader, do I say leader?
Sure.
Of the you'll agree to that, too. Of the 2006-2007 UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team, Casey Archibald. Now, before we get into you guys, season opener's coming up this weekend. Home opener, away opener, both divisional games. Coach Hansen, how's he holding up? I haven't talked to him in a while. How's he doing? With the torn ACL, he's walking around with a crutch. How's he holding up?
He's holding up pretty good. He's a little bit of pain during the practice at times, but for the most part, he's getting ready to go.
Does anybody poke fun of him at all, Casey? Or?
I mean, all the time. You can't help but when he's sitting on the sideline with his foot up in the air, you know, yelling at us. You know, you look over at him and you can't help but laugh sometimes.
Because all if he yells at you too bad, really all you have to do is sort of go and just sort of like push him over.
He's
right?
Pretty vulnerable.
But is he going to be on crutches the whole year? What's the
No, for at least the next 6-8 weeks, maybe longer. It's like a 3-month. He's got the cast on, I think, for another 2 months, maybe, or something like that. But I think by the end of the season, he should be on his own feet.
Do you call him Limpy or anything like that?
We don't have too many names. I think we're going to have to bring him out to get him some names.
Awesome. All right, here with Casey Archibald, Vern Knopp. Two openers coming up for the UBC men's basketball team this weekend. We'll do the first one on the road Friday night. The one time you're going there this season, I don't like this new schedule, the way you sort of play different teams each night. Do you miss the old, you're going to be playing Trinity on the road on Friday, SFU here, the home opener on Saturday. Casey, let me ask you, as a player, wasn't it more of a rivalry thing, a little bad blood more? Yeah. When you sort of play the same teams back-to-back, the same arena, the same place?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I kind of like switching up teams. Playing the same team back-to-back is kind of tough and can kind of be misleading. You know, if a team blows a team out the first night, the next night, there's usually a letdown. So I think switching it up makes the games a little fresh. And then you don't need to you know, see, you don't need to be guarded and guard the same guy two nights in a row, right? That gets kind of old.
I guess it's me from a broadcaster's perspective, yeah. Is I only have to know one road team each week.
Yeah, it makes
it's
easier.
It's a lot easier. What about you, Coach? From a coaching's perspective, you do have to prepare for two teams.
Yeah, it makes it a little more difficult. You know, you always want to focus on the first game, the Friday night, so you don't really spend as much time maybe on the Saturday game as you'd like. I mean, just as far as getting the guys ready for it. But, you know, I agree. It's actually kind of exciting to play a different team the next night. It makes it more interesting. It's easier to get fans out that way. A lot of times fans don't want to come back the second night to see the same two teams play. So in that respect, it's actually, I like that a lot more.
Okay, I'll stand corrected then. Okay, so Coach, let me ask you first here. Trinity Western on the weekend, the one game you're going there, a very tough place to play. Small arena, they pack the gym, a loud arena. And the story is going to be, from our perspective, Adam Friesen's big return to Trinity Western.
Yeah, he makes his awaited return, much awaited return to the last few years where he's played, where he's had a lot of success. So, you know, the good thing for us is, you know, he's used to playing in that gym, shooting well in that gym, so we shouldn't have too much of a transition with that. And it's kind of be different for Casey anyway. He won't be public enemy number one now, so Adam's kind of taking that role over for him this year.
Yeah, Casey, they always boo you in Trinity Western when you get the ball. You have to kind of like that a bit, though.
I don't mind it. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do to Adam. I don't know if they're going to boo him now, or I mean, he gave quite a bit to that program. So I was surprised, though. I thought he might go and play in the alumni game for them last weekend, but I guess not.
Is it a tough place to play, or do you get up for it?
Yeah, it is tough just because the noise level, right? Like timeouts, you can't really hear a whole lot. But at the same time, it's fun. You know, you'd rather play in a busy gym than a silent gym, right? So it's fun. I like it, and it's going to be interesting just to see what they do to Adam.
What are they going to do? What are you expecting, Coach?
They're just going to play a kind of a helter-skelter style. They want to run the ball up and down the floor, which, you know, kind of suits our style as well. So I don't think they can't just focus on Adam, because we've got too many other guys that can hurt them. And, you know, if they want to just focus all their attention on Adam, then, you know, that's fine with us too, because it just leaves guys like Casey and Jason Beering open.
Because Adam Friesen, quiet guy, is he really looking forward to this game, Casey?
I haven't really talked to him about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is, just from a personal standpoint. I'm sure he'll have a lot of friends and family at the game, but it's Tuesday. I haven't really talked too much about it.
And Trinity Western, a team, they're new into the Canada West. They came in, really burst on. They gave you guys a hell of a series. It was about 3 years ago.
Yep.
They took you guys down to the wire. And, you know, they sort of haven't been able to get over that hump. But Trinity Western 2006-07, what kind of team are we looking at?
Different, like I said, they changed their style last year to be up-tempo, where they want to, you know, play the game in the 90s and 100s. And, you know, so far what we've seen on video is they're still trying to play that style. I think they have a few guys out, a few of their big guys that haven't been playing the preseason because of injuries, so I think they're back this weekend. You know, there won't be any surprises. We know their personnel. They want to come down and shoot the ball real early in the shot clock, and defensively they just try to put pressure everywhere, wherever they can, and that's pretty much their style.
So you got to like that, Casey, a little up-tempo game. You're going to get lots of shots off on the weekend.
Perfectly fine with me. Yeah, we won't have to play a whole lot of defense for more than 20 seconds, I don't think, so that's good.
So they just take the ball, they fire it up, so it's going to, and you guys are, I'm sure, to do the same. You're just going to run, is that what we're looking at? They're going to try to run, you're going to try to run, so it's going to be a pure wide open game?
Yeah, well, it should be. I mean, both teams, we're going to try to play defense as best we can, but let's just say the shot clock won't be running out for either of the teams, so both teams like to shoot early, and I'd expect to see a lot of that.
So, Casey, I got to ask you from an offensive perspective, yep. Is you've had two great true pure point guards here in the past is Carlo Villanueva and Jordan Yu.
Yep.
And those guys have both moved on. You've got Adam Friesen. He's manning the point guard position this year. More of a shooter, though, also. How's Adam Friesen, and how's it like? How's the offense different this year?
Well, we've actually changed up our entire offense this year. So, I mean, in the past, we did, like, Carlo and Jordan. They were great point guards. Last year was a little bit different, too. Both Posh and I both sort of handled the ball. Same kind of thing this year. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that can handle it. We got some rookies that can handle it, some second and third year guys. So really, it's just going to be get the ball over half and let's play. You know, I don't think Adam's doing a great job as a designated point guard, but I don't think we need to put anybody into some specific molds right yet.
So is the same guy, we're looking at Adam Friesen, is he the guy bringing the ball up the court every time, or is that even going to change up?
Well, that'll change here and there. I mean, probably majority of the time, but that'll change. And right now he's doing a great job distributing it, and yeah, he's playing well.
How excited are you to get the season underway, Coach?
It's a little early in the week, but starting to get there. You know, each day goes by, you get a little more excited. Come Friday, I'll be really excited to play. So looking forward to starting the season.
So yeah, Casey, 20-0 last year. Great season, losing the Canada West Championships to Victoria, get bounced out in the Nationals. Still a bad taste in your mouth? You want to get right back out there?
I'm happy preseason's over. I tried to get that taste out as quick as I could last year. It's been a good time off. But right now we've got such a new team and it's such a new sort of dynamic that kind of not really thinking about last year at all and just sort of looking forward to this year.
So it's going to be a lot of three-guard sets, I take it, with you, Chris Dick, and Adam Friesen. How's it working out with the three of you?
It's good. Right now we're still getting used to playing with each other, but so far in the preseason, it looks great.
They're looking good, Coach?
They are looking good. They're distributing the ball really well with each other. They're not being selfish. They're trying to go out of their way to make the extra pass, which kind of rubs off on everybody else. So it's been so far, it's been a good transition.
Do you have to ever yell to Casey in practice, shoot the ball more?
No, you never tell you Casey to shoot the ball more. maybe play a little defense every now and then. But,
so he's a shooter. He's a shooter.
Casey's definitely a shooter, yeah.
So play some defense, Casey.
Okay.
SFU on Saturday, going to be the home opener for you guys. Tell us about this game, Casey.
I'm excited for it. I mean, SFU is always it's always a big game. They'll have a good team. They've got Aaron coming back for a... Feels like he's been here for about 9 years now. But
Aaron Christensen, they're talking about. Yeah,
I'm not sure what year he's in now, but he's always a tough guy to stop. So I mean, it'll be a fun game. It'll be nice to start season and be at home and have our friends and family out. So that'll be good.
Are they improved this year, SFU?
Well, so we hear. We've heard that they're improving. They have a good preseason. I don't think they've lost in preseason yet. So I think they have identical 5-0 record as we do in the preseason. So. Yeah, we'll find out pretty quick on Saturday.
And Casey, tell us about Ask Coach this year. Some guys, who's going to step up for UBC this season?
I think a lot of guys are going to. A lot of our third year guys, Bryson and Matt, they're going to have great years, I think. And Cody Berg's looking really promising, especially for first year in the CIS. He's looking really good. And then, I mean, we've got all our older guys and college transfers. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of guys that maybe got limited minutes in the past are going to step up and have big years.
Yeah, more so on Saturday's game is Aaron Christensen down low.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what they're going to try to do. You guys, you're unproven down low. So is that what you expect teams to really try to do against UBC this year, Coach, is at least early on just sort of try to take you guys on down low and see how that goes?
Yeah, that's been pretty much everyone's philosophy the last few years. You know, they're not going to throw anything different at us. We've pretty much seen it all from, if not from them, from other teams. We're prepared for it. It's our biggest team we've had since the Kevin Hansen era started. So we're definitely more prepared than past years just because we have overall size.
The improved rebounding team this year, Casey?
We're working on it. We'll hope so. This preseason, I don't know what our overall rebounds are, but we're working on it a lot in practice.
How's Casey rebounding?
Casey's rebounding well, actually. I'll give him that. He's working hard at it.
There's, good answer. You
know, yeah, there's times we get on him, but the whole team in general. It's still a work in progress. Like Coach Hansen said today, we're just taking baby steps. So at least we're looking to box guys out and to play tougher on the boards.
Is it going
to
be easier defensively? I mean, one thing you did have with Carlo and Jordan out there, you sort of lacked a little size at times, yeah. And now you got Adam Friesen sort of, you're not going to have that point guard being able to just sort of try to shoot it over your point guard this year.
Yeah, that might give us a little bit of an advantage, but we also might lose the full court defensive pressure that we've had in the past. But, I mean, those guys were great point guards then. We've got some good point guards now. So, realistically, you always give up something and gain something else, right?
Great. And your personal goals this year, Casey, got to ask.
We got to get a win at the national championships. That's been my goal since first year, and let's hope it happens.
Win the national championships or get a win at the national championships?
I'm going to start with get a win and then win the national championships.
Is it hard, Coach? You know, the last few years you guys have just sort of steamrolled through the regular season. It's just been that playoff where you don't even play these teams all year. So is it sort of tough that that's the situation you're in?
Yeah, it's real tough. It's you know, we're excited that we're going to nationals, but it seems like we have that monkey on our back now that we got to get that win at nationals. And I've been telling people for the last few years that have been listening, saying we just get that first win, we're going to be okay. So I think, you know, our goal this year as coaches is not to win that first game, it's to win it the whole thing,
right?
And it'll stay that goal.
And you can't even think about this till March either.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Still a long way. Nonetheless, regular season, we've got the season opener. We're going to be doing both games here on CITR 101.9 FM, the women and the men's. UBC going to be taking on Trinity Western in Langley on Friday night. Women start at 6, you guys 8:15. What time is it always? It's always different.
It's supposed to start at 8, but usually with all the fouls called in the games, usually 8:15, 8:30. So that's tends to how it works in Canada West.
Is that true, Wilson? Lots of fouls in the women's basketball?
More in the guys' game, but it seems to never start on time.
And on Saturday, UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball home opener right here versus SFU. Two rivalry games out of the chute. That has to be fun.
It's always fun. It is. It's cuts practice week down, so it's great.
Do you think there should be more inter-province games? You know, Trinity, UBC, SFU.
Well, we play each other three times. It used to be four times.
It used to be four, yeah.
And you know, by the time it. Like the one year, like with Trinity, 3 years in a row, it was like the 21st time in 3 years that we were playing them, because we played them in the playoffs three times as well. And it's an awful lot to play a team that many times. So I think cutting down the games actually can make it a little more exciting. But it hurts when you're not getting SFU and Trinity. You'd like, kind of like to play them one more time just because that's when we get our bigger crowds. Fraser Valley coming into league, I don't know if that many people are going to want to come to watch that because it's a new team.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple close games and a rival can be born anytime. So,
awesome. As Trinity did to you guys.
As they did to us.
A few years back. Awesome. Casey Archibald, the leader. I'm allowed to say it. The leader. And we got to watch Casey on defense.
Casey plays defense.
Casey plays defense, time. Of course. Casey Archibald, who we wish you best of luck this year, Casey. And you've got final year here.
Thanks a lot.
Great team. And sky's the limit for you this year.
Thank
so
you.
Best of
my
luck
only
day.
Question is, fifth year, it's my first time in this booth right now. It surprises me, but I won't hold it against you. I won't hold it against you.
Wilson, help. I mean, awesome. And Vernup, he's been here before.
Thank you.
Coach, thanks a lot. And Kevin Hansen, if you're out there, Coach, get well soon. And we're supposed to play a game of 21, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And
uh-oh.
I would like to play him right
uh-oh.
Now. I'd like to play him right now.
You better get him early.
I think that's a fair handicap, is play him while he's got the torn ACL.
As long as you have to run down the ball, he can shoot it still, so he could be in trouble.
Can he shoot it still?
I'll give him that.
What are my chances of beating him in a game of 21?
Zero. He'll find a way to cheat to win. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. He will not let you win.
And the fact that I'm really not that good. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to get back. We're going to continue on with some UBC Thunderbird Sports, and we'll get into some BC Lions with Julio Caravata. You're listening to 101.9 FM. Thanks again, Coach, and thanks again, Casey. We'll have you on again, I do promise.
Thank
if
you.
You'll come.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back in a moment.
CITR Podcast Update. Number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. As it comes more and more into our personal lives, how are we going to cope with the techno-peasants? I mean, this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life. You know, in the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically,
right,
or
yeah.
would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, you know, just check out our website and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Who can turn the world on with a smile? Take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show, love is all around, no need to waste it. You can never tell, why don't you take it?
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Winter's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM. CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And with us on the line right now, we have a working firefighter. You're working.
Well, I'm on my way to work.
Oh, you're on your way to work. Good enough. That's more than I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But we're with Julio Caravana. So, Julio, it was a poor version I found, Mary Tyler Moore theme song. What do you think?
I didn't hear it.
Okay, you know what? Good. It was a bad version. I apologize. You know what? I don't think I can top last week for you. Did you ever find Hank Williams' family tradition?
Well, to tell you the truth, I haven't really looked. Although it did remind me yesterday when I was watching a bit of Monday Night Football and they had Hank Williams on, Jr. So it reminded me yesterday. But I just haven't had time. I've been so busy with my kids. It's been one of those weeks.
And Julio, let's get into BC Lions stuff right now. You know, you said it's been one of those weeks, but have you woken up from the football game on Saturday?
Yeah, really. It was a real snoozer. Although it started off, I was a little bit worried that the Lions had really gone to sleep, and they showed enough to put some plays together and get ahead of the Hamilton Tiger Cats and relieve us all of a very, very big scare. But it's one of those things, Darryl, where if you're Wally Buono, what do? It's so difficult to manufacture motivation. It's either there or it's not. And for right now, the players, you can just tell they're just, not interested. They're gearing themselves up for November 12th, and they see that as that one game and that they have to be up for. And hopefully for the fans' sake and for Wally Bono's sake and the BC Lions, that they're able to get motivated and get up for that game and get themselves into a Grey Cup. Because really, Darryl, there is no settling for anything other than a Grey Cup victory this year. This team is by far and away the most talented team that they've had here in a long time, and nothing less than a Grey Cup victory would be considered a success this year.
Julio, as a player, you got to play with a lot of great players. Were there certain players that you played with who, in a game where you had already clinched and it didn't matter and you're sort of playing up the string, but you were going to have something to play for in the playoffs, who were some of those players, and did you play with any players that would not let a team take a day off like that?
Well, there's a lot of all the great leaders that I've played with, and you talk about Louis Pistaglia, you talk about Ian Sinclair and Gerald Roper and Jim Mills and Jamie Terrace, all these guys, Ray Alexander, they were all great leaders. But at the same time, they realize the situation as well. They understand what's at stake. They understand what the scenario is all about, and they realize that there's just no way, not even for them. I mean, guys will say, "Oh, yeah, I'm not taking it off. I don't got my intensity. I showed up to play." It's just human nature to sit there before the kickoff against a team that's basically packed its bags and is ready to go home. How do you get motivated for that? There's just no way you can do it, and I just think what you have is this human nature. It's really the guys are doing probably what most of us would do, and it's hard to kind of get yourself up for those kind of games.
And Julio, some injuries did take place to the BC Lions in that game. Rob Murphy got hurt, among others. What's the status of these guys? I take it anybody that got hurt in that game at all won't be playing on Saturday at home versus Winnipeg.
Yeah, I would imagine that Rob Murphy, who's had a pinched meniscus in that right knee, where they talked about having an MRI, and that if he did need a scope, that it would be, between 7 and 10 days that he would be off, and it would not be a big deal. So I don't know whether or not that's what they found. I was just a preliminary report that we had heard. I haven't heard anything since. I'll probably find out more tomorrow. I'm going to go to the practice tomorrow. Aaron Hunt was a pulled calf muscle, I believe. His is just a matter of rest. And that's the thing that scares you. It's got to scare you as a coach is the injuries when you're not really playing for anything. And next week you got a situation where, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to be playing for a lot. And I'm sure that the intensity of that game is going to be a lot higher than it was this past week.
Yeah, Julio, break that down for me. I mean, this weekend has to be different. I mean, Winnipeg, they're going to know when the game starts. It's a pretty crazy three-way tiebreaker going on. I'm not exactly sure how the scenarios are going to play out, but there is a shot Winnipeg can still finish first
in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, if they are playing for first place, you're looking at, either way, no matter what, BC is looking at a potential Grey Cup opponent here.
Yeah.
So they can't take too much off here.
Yeah.
Because when they played Calgary, they beat the hell out of them, sending a message. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting scenario this week.
Well, and I think, too, you have to think about where Winnipeg is sitting, is that you're right, they've got a lot more to play for, but they're also playing to gain that momentum. They're gaining valuable momentum at a critical time of the year. And going out and beating Calgary at home, they probably got a huge boost out of that to give themselves a chance. So you're not going to tell me that they're not going to be motivated. Sure, they're playing. Their biggest motivation is to try to secure first place and get a home field playoff game. But at the same time, too, could you imagine going into going into the first round of the playoffs if you had beaten Calgary and BC your last 2 weeks? You're going to gain a lot out of that. And that's what everybody in this league strives for, is that momentum. And if you can beat two of probably the most favorite teams in the league, and what I mean by favorites is that Grey Cup favorites, what more could you ask for if you're Doug Berry, the head coach of the Blue Bombers? I mean, this would be an ideal situation for him to come into BC Place and steal a victory and get himself loaded up for the playoffs.
And, Julio, back to the game for BC last week, the positive, the guy who really came in and saved the day, or it was going to be a very disappointing game for the Lions in front of a very large crowd. I think there were no-shows. I don't trust that 31,000 number.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
That they printed out to us. Dave Dickinson, awesome in the second half.
He sure was. Darryl, he was. It looked like he had not taken any time off for a guy who hadn't played since, September 24th. He's a guy that looked very, very good, sharp, good, quick decisions, getting rid of the ball. He took a couple of big shots. He was the missing, I don't want to say ingredient, but if you have a healthy, sharp Dave Dickinson heading into the playoffs, really, if you're Wally Buono, you look around your team, you've got all your ducks in order heading into the Western Final.
And the defense, Julio, especially in the second half, played really well.
Well, they have been the cornerstone of this team this year, Darryl. They have been the reason why they are where they are. This defense single-handedly turned this team around and ran with it. And it's one of those situations where if not for this defense, who knows where this team would be this year.
Are they the biggest big play defense in the league, Julio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And as far as, you're right, making big plays, it seems like they're making big plays at the right times. And it's one of those things where, really, this team is going to go as far as that defense takes them. And from what I've seen, their defense, it just is, there's just no weakness. And if they can play like they were playing, prior to these last couple of weeks, because you got to think to themselves, too, that they really, what are they playing for? Really, right now, these guys are saying to themselves, I just don't want to get hurt, because they all want to be part of this run. But I would be really shocked if come November 12th that defense doesn't show up and, dictate the pace, because that's what they've been able to do. They've been able to dictate the pace of the game from their front seven. From their front seven, they are able to dominate games, and if they can continue to do that, they're gonna find themselves holding the cup at the end of the year.
And Julio, a brilliant description of you in the first half. You went deep into Webster's dictionary. You found the most descriptive word you could find. Listen to me, I can't think of anything. The most descriptive word you can find. Julio Caravatta's, what he said, BC's first half performance on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's how it that was,
pretty,
eh?
That pretty much summed it up, didn't it, Darryl?
That's how it was.
I almost took the phrase right out of your mouth, because I was looking at your face, and that's the face that you were giving me.
Oh, was that the face I was giving?
You were giving me, that was really bad. That was sick.
I honestly felt like you guys did not need a stat guy for that game.
No. It was just one of those games where I knew going into it, I felt like it was going to be like a preseason game, and that's the feel I got. And I got that feeling the day before, because the Hamilton Tire Cat guys, and give them credit, they did show up and they played hard. But for the most part, most of those guys had all packed their bags. They were ready to go home. They wanted it to be over with. It's been a nightmare season in Hamilton, so they just wanted it to be done with and get out of there. So, it was a dud game. There was nothing there.
Well, hopefully we'll have a better one on Saturday. And Julia, I take it from the sound of your voice as the commentator, color commentator for this team, you get to travel, you get to call the Grey Cup if they get there on the radio networks. You are chomping at the bit for that Western Conference final.
Well, I'm excited about seeing this team finish what they've started. Going around the league this year, Daryl, I've had an opportunity to look at all the teams, and this team the BC Lions have this year is as talented a team from top to bottom as I've seen here for a long time. And it would just be a shame for them to just not finish it. They need to just finish what they've started and carry it through the Grey Cup and have a Grey Cup parade and hoist that Grey Cup. All those things that go with winning a championship, because it just would be an absolute shame to see this team not win at all.
This Saturday, BC hosting the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who could be playing for a lot. They could finish high as first or to third in the Western Conference. Julio, thanks a bundle for doing this. And are you watching the World Series tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you liking tonight?
I'm going St. Louis tonight. The first game at home, I'm going St. Louis.
Who's pitching for them tonight?
I don't know who's pitching. Weaver pitched. I would imagine it's got to be
Carpenter. It's Carpenter.
Yeah, it's Carpenter.
Oh, go St. Louis tonight.
What are you doing? What are you going with?
Oh, St. Louis tonight.
Are you?
Oh, absolutely. I like their pitching. What I thought, it hasn't worked out as I thought. I thought Weaver was going to pitch really well. He didn't pitch bad. They've got Suppan ready for game four. And Carpenter, who's this Reyes guy I was worried about for him, and he pitched a great game in game one. But yeah. I really like St. Louis's pitching. They're not the big names, guys, but Weaver's pitched well. Suppan was dominant against the Mets. And Carpenter's as good as anybody in the league. Question for you, Kenny Rogers, too big of a deal, or what's the story with the pine tar?
He was cheating. That's cheating.
No, steroids is cheating. That's
come on.
No, I draw a line.
He was using pine tar as an advantage. In baseball, if that's the case, he should have been thrown out.
I would have loved it if he got thrown out. Do you know the story of Jay Howell in the 1988 at NLCS? He was the closer. Jay Howell was his name. Yeah. He was the closer for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And he had pine tar in his hat and pine tar in his glove, and the Mets called him on it. The umpires looked at it, and the NL commissioner, Bartlett Giamatti, was sitting in the front row. So they went to the commissioner of the NL. They gave him the glove. He looked at it, and then he just did the big, "You're out" sign to Jay Howell. It was just great. You've got the commissioner in the front row going, "You're out of here."
Well, he should have been, and I would imagine too. What ended up? Did he? They saw it on camera, did they not?
I didn't
see the game, so Daryl, you'd have to excuse me. I only saw a bit of the.
Well,
hype.
They didn't get that much during the game, and I watched the Sportsnet feed. I like watching Rick Sutcliffe and whoever that other guy is, as opposed to Fox. And you have Greg Zahn and Jamie Campbell, the Blue Jays play-by-play guy. They talk to them during the, they come in every once in a while during the break. And Greg Zahn, the Blue Jays catcher, said, because at that time we were told that Kenny Rogers said it was dirt. I guess they believed the answer and they moved on. And Greg Zahn in the break just said, "First of all, they could say it's dirt, but that's pine tar."
Yeah.
That's what he said.
It's exactly what it was.
So, and you know what, Julio? I think the umpires didn't do a thing about it. There's nothing you can do. Pitchers have been doing this for 150 years now, but those umpires caught him, and that's who I point the finger at. I don't point the finger at Kenny Rogers. That's a colorful way of cheating, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Okay, it's not like taking steroids. Phil Niekro throwing the spitball, Gaylord Perry with the Vaseline ball. I'll look the other way on that one, but the umpires caught him, and I don't know if the league said they were too chicken or these umpires were too chicken, but
could you imagine? If they would have thrown him out of that game,
Julio,
that place would have gone crazy.
Jay Howell, 1988 World Series, 1988 NLCS, Game 4, he got thrown out and was suspended the next game.
Yeah, wow.
So these umpires, you know, there's a thing in baseball, too, now. I don't know who the plate umpire was. Is about 6-7 years ago, the umpires were going for a new labor agreement, and they broke up their union or something, and in the process, and a ton of new umpires have come into Major League Baseball, and the league now has a lot more power over the umpires. The umpires sort of had their own little club. They don't anymore. And maybe these umpires just don't have the gusto they used to. That's possible. So they should have tossed them, Julio, but they didn't, and there's nothing that can be done about it now.
That's right.
So there you go.
Maybe it's just fate now.
You think so?
It's fate now that St. Louis is going to win.
Because of Pine Tar? How many guys on these teams have done steroids in the past?
Oh, I know. Let's not get into that, though.
Yeah, I know. The Pine Tar guys I like. I still like them.
They're just creative ways of finding to get an advantage.
Yeah, exactly. And at least he didn't push down a cameraman last night. So
that's right. I think that's probably why. I'm not big on Kenny Rogers anyways.
No, he was fire Jack. He was pumped up, though.
Oh, yeah, he's always getting pumped up now.
He was pumped up.
Oh, he sees his highlights. He figures, hey, I look pretty cool out there.
Awesome. Julio, I got to get going. You got to get to work. I'll see you on Saturday.
Okay, thanks
Julio.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Julio Caravata, color commentator, voice for the BC Lions, talking a little baseball. Kenny Rogers, you know, I've said it, I'll say it, is he was using pine tar, but let's get the steroid guys first. Before we get the pine tar guys, okay? Yeah, he did it. They didn't do anything. They should have thrown him out of the game. The umpires. Don't blame Kenny Rogers here. Maybe this is why he's been good this year, his pine tar. But Gaylord Perry, let him in the Hall of Fame. It ain't cheating. Except steroids. There's a line if you don't get caught. That's the line for baseball pitchers and cheating. Batters, don't cheat. Pitchers can cheat. That's how I believe it. Don't cork your bat, but spit on that ball. All right, we are going to take a quick break here on Wiener's Barbecue. Dave Chernichan from News 1130 is going to be with us after the break. We're going to get into some Vancouver Canuck talk as they're doing pretty well here in the 06-07 season. 5-4-1, and it's funny. We're saying they're doing pretty well. We're all happy. We used to want them to be the best team in the league. Now we're hoping for a playoff spot. It's something what lower expectations will do to you. Anyways, folks, we are going to be right back. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah, that's all there is to say. Oh, look at that. I had it all ready to go, and it didn't work. Burn on me. I am having trouble today with the computer. All right, here we go again. Hopefully it'll work this time. No, it doesn't want to work. Huh, something's up. Something is up here. All right, hopefully this one will work. Oh, here we go. I am having trouble playing off of the computer today. I'm losing the fight off of the computer. Dave, how are you with computers?
I'm terrible. I'm stupid. You know, I started writing a hockey blog on this Canucks fan website called CanucksCorner.com.
Yep.
And it's taken me so long to finally get the way to figure that whole idea out of how to post it onto the internet. You know, you almost need brains for it.
or we have to be born like, you know, if you're born in like 1990, I think you automatically know it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As a vintage of 73, I don't think I qualify for it.
Awesome. Dave Chernichan here from News 1130 with us right now. Going to talk a little Vancouver Canucks hockey. So, Dave, are we happy here? 5-4-1. They're competitive. They're not dominant. We're sort of what the optimists told us they would be. Your impressions of the Canucks 1/8 of the way through the regular season.
You know, I honestly don't see how anybody can complain about what the Canucks have done so far this year. Out of their 10 games, I believe 6 of them have been one-goal games. 2 of them have been two-goal games where they've either won or lost. And don't forget, they've only played 2 home games throughout this stretch so far. And for any team to be able to start out of the gates with 8 of their first 10 on the road and be a game over 500, that's not only good skill, it's good luck, and it's a great start to this season for a hockey club that's really trying to build a new identity in the process.
And, Dave, we have a hockey team this year, it seems, in this town with the word we can put on it, heart.
Yeah, there's a lot more of that. But, I mean, I think a lot of guys are starting to find their comfortability. You know, the last time we talked, we were pretty hard on Taylor Pyatt. You know, and look what he's done. He has 3 goals and a couple of assists since then. He's been bumped up to the Sedin line with Vigneault finally moving Naslin back to Morrison's line. There's still trouble scoring on this team. I mean, there's still some problems that need to be fixed. Secondary scoring is a big one. The amount of penalties that the team is taking, especially that top line, is ridiculous. The Canucks right now are the 3rd most penalized team in the league. You know, that's got to stop.
Why is that? Why are they taking so many penalties?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I can't answer that. You know, I mean, as a coach, you can only push the bar up so many times, so high when you say, look, stop taking penalties. What more can you do?
And Dave, I'm going to quote you in the past, though. You say you got to have North Americans to win. They're 3 best forwards and really probably three best players outside of the goalie are all Swedish.
Yeah, and they're awesome Swedes. Now, I'm going to quote myself here from the past, saying that the Canucks Europeans that they have, you know, are quality hockey players. They don't use Europeans as fill-ins. I mean, you can question Tommy Santala. What a waste of money that is. You know, and I think Dave Nonis now is realizing why he was in Finland last year. But to give the guy a one-way contract, that was incredible.
How does he get a one-way contract? How did that go down?
I'd love to have his agent. I mean, first and foremost, I would love to have his agent because I could be making some serious coin right now, apparently.
And Daniel and Henrik, how impressed are we with these two guys?
You know, I think for the years that they were ridden hard in this city about their lack of production, will they ever be top-line talents, you know, these kids are getting their just desserts. And you know what? They're good kids. They really are. They're really good guys. And they know this town, and the media has been hard on them for the past few years. And after last season coming out with their coming out party, and then this year rolling right along when nobody knew how they would do without Anson Carter, you know, I think it's pretty phenomenal what they're doing. I mean, don't forget, when you're a second line on a hockey team, you don't see the opposition team's top defenseman. Okay, you see their second tier of defensemen, their third tier of defensemen, but you don't usually see their top tier of defensemen. And the Sedins this year, that was the big question mark going in. Could they handle going against the Nicholas Lidstroms with success in this season, the Jason Smiths in Edmonton? And so far, so good, and that's a credit to them.
So, Dave, the Canucks, though, Chicago tomorrow night, a pay-per-view game. And let me ask you if you've heard anything. How did they decide the pay-per-view schedule? Do the networks have a say? Do the Canucks have a say? I'm assuming it's a combined combo. Because this game for me on pay-per-view, 5:30 tomorrow night against Chicago on a weeknight, who's going to buy this game?
Anybody who wants.
Yeah, but Dave, people are working till 5. They got to rush home. It's hard to sort of get organized, and it's versus Chicago. Do the Canucks pick? Do you know how it's done?
As far as I know, the networks get first crack.
Okay, they do. I'm sure outside of that Bertuzzi game, though.
Yeah. I mean, the networks will usually get first crack at, you know, the teams they want to show.
Right.
Okay, because they're the ones paying huge money. I mean, yes, the Canucks make big money off of pay-per-view, but it's nothing compared to what Sportsnet or Hockey Night in Canada are paying the Canucks and or the NHL for the rights. Or pardon me, I should throw TSN in there as well.
Right. Okay, so it's just sort of they pick the games, and because that makes sense. That does seem like a leftover game to me.
Yeah.
That does.
And let's be honest. You know, before Todd Bertuzzi, I mean, the Canucks may have said, look, the one game that we want is we want Florida.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or the other networks might have just said...
It might have been decided. It might have been decided before the trade happened. Who knows? I don't know. Anyways, Dave, moving on around the National Hockey League, Bobby Clark, after many, many, several years, resigns as the GM of the Philadelphia Flyers. They're looking bad. I think their record's 1-6-1 so far this season. Your thoughts on Bobby Clark leaving Philly?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is it's about time, but they replaced him with a Clark clone in Paul Holmgren. You know, a guy who's old-time hockey. And I don't think that was healthy for Philadelphia. I mean, they have the tools, but, I mean, they just can't put it together. I feel sorry for Ken Hitchcock. I mean, he's not feeling sorry for himself. Here's a guy who's going to be paid the next 3 years no matter what. He just signed a three-year contract extension in the preseason. You know, I mean, he doesn't care. You know, he's getting paid. But, I mean, with Bobby Clark, you know, he hated, I mean, all the reports I'm hearing, he hated the new NHL. And you know what? I don't blame him. It's a terrible brand of hockey out there right now. And you know, he saw the NHL wasn't changing. The NHL's kind of in this mold right now where it seems like they're having troubles facing which direction they want to head. And he couldn't conform to it. But on the flip side, you know, I mean, good for Philadelphia fans for Ed Snyder finally cutting ties because, I mean, that team was going nowhere. For about 9-10 years since Ron Hextall was in his prime, Philadelphia hasn't had good goaltending. You know, Bobby Clark's motto was, if you need a goaltender, you go out and sign a defenseman. If you need a goaltender, you go sign a forward.
Right. The move with Bobby Clark, I don't know, is, I mean, the question you're going to have is that whole Eric Lindros thing, and what would have happened if Lindros didn't suffer those concussions?
Well, that's, I mean, sort of you can't judge a guy on the health. I mean, you look at that trade. I mean, that basically set up the Quebec Nordiques and the Colorado Avalanche for a decade of dominance.
It did set them up. They were garbage before and immediately good after the trade.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and... you know, I mean, but don't forget, I mean, Lindros was dominant, too, before he, you know, players started realizing that he played with his head down and said, hey, I'm going to throw a clean shoulder in there.
Was it with, you know, we'll get off of Lindros, actually. I just want to move on here. Is on to Bobby Clark and, like you said, hating the new brand of hockey. It sounds, Dave, like you don't like it. And some of the things I don't like it, it does seem like an absolute diver's paradise out there. The NHL, Dave, is it now time we start calling it the no-hit league?
I think you can. I mean, you know, I mean, I understand they want the game to be faster. They want it to be a lot more fun. They want it to be energetic. They want to show off the speed, the finesse. And you know what? That's great because hockey can be a beautiful game. But you know what? I'm tired of sitting in the press box and seeing guys take penalties, and it doesn't matter whether it's the Canucks or the Ducks or whatever team out there. You know, guys taking penalties for an open ice hit because the player who's hit goes flying, or the boards rattle because it's too much noise. I'm waiting for the NHL for a referee to say two minutes for too much noise on the body check.
How come they're not calling diving either, Dave? That has to be going on a ridiculous margin right now.
How do you control it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dave, I think as a hockey fan and a sports fan in general, I mean, you wouldn't be against them absolutely big-time cracking down on diving right now.
I'll tell you how you get rid of diving and how you get rid of the BS. Get rid of the instigator rule. Okay, now, granted, now the instigator's a two-minute minor, and only in certain circumstances is a player chucked out of the game. But the problem is players like Sean Avery or Matt Cook or any of these feisty, pesky guys, okay, can get away with the BS, the hooking, the diving, because they know there's no retribution. There's, you know, I mean, it was only 10, 15 years ago where if you crashed into a goalie or a goalie covered up the puck and you sprayed snow in his face, the gloves were off. And, you know, I realize all the ballerinas out there are going to probably complain, saying there's no room for fighting in today's hockey. But you know what? The best games in hockey are the games where the players police themselves, not the referees making 15, 18, 20 penalty calls a game.
No, absolutely agree, Dave. You want that hard-hitting, fast-skating, physical game. That's what you want to see in hockey.
Well, exactly. There's no policing from the players out there anymore because the referees do everything, right? The referees do it all now.
So awesome.
And there's absolutely no need for a player. Sorry, I'm getting over a cold here. But there's no need for a player to worry about retribution because, sure, few teams have heavyweights now. But you know what? It's only the heavyweights that go with each other, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, now there's the big questions going around, you know, by the Hockey News, should fighting be banned in the NHL? No, it shouldn't. It's fun. Fans love the fights. Okay? Give me one American fan out there who goes to a hockey game and is thoroughly disgusted.
Well, there are some, but I know what you mean. When a fight happens, everybody stands up and cheers. It's how it is. And it's always been that way, I'm sure.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I remember when I used to play, and I played up to senior men's. You know, I mean, even in our league, you know, we knew that there was a code. You run the goalie, one of us, namely myself or a couple other guys, we're coming at you. We're going to throw our gloves off. We're going to tune you up a bit. And then, you know, next time you won't do it again.
Awesome. Dave Chernichan from News 1130. Dave, one of the great young players in the game, is coming to town on Friday night. You excited to see Al Ovechkin?
I cannot wait to see him, you know. I mean, he is such a special, special hockey player that, you know, I mean, that's what I hate about this new schedule. I mean, the league talks about selling the game across Canada, North America, and yet we only get to see players like Alexander Ovechkin here once.
Sidney Crosby,
every 3 years.
Sidney Crosby, Eric Staal, Evgeny Malkin, the Maple Leafs, the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Rangers, the Devils, all those teams.
See, it's hard to believe that, you know, watch hockey or watch the Eastern team struggle while the West dominated for so many years in the past, say, decade. And then you look, where are all these young kids? They're all out in the East. You know, none of them are in the West, or very few, I should say.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyways, Dave, I do appreciate it, and you're watching the game tomorrow, I'm sure, and enjoy Ovechkin on Friday. Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Chernichan from News 1130 joining us on Wiener's Barbecue here on the 101.9 FM out there in Radio Land. And you know what? I agree with Dave. And a lot of times I don't agree with Dave. You know, his Swedish thing and his European thing. You know, okay, whatever, okay. But this new NHL, I mean, it is more interesting to watch. I'll give you that. But they could have found a happy medium. I do believe that you got to let a little physical stuff go. And who are they trying to impress here? Because, quite frankly, this American market, I predict, it ain't coming around to watch them. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Oh, and of course, the schedule. They got to get these teams here once a year. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to 101.9 FM. Steve Ewan from the Vancouver Province will be with us when we get back. On 109, whatever we're called. I don't know anymore. Anyways, do I have to say it?
Yeah, you do.
101.9 FM. Is that you in a press conference? You go, Steve Ewan, Vancouver Province. Do you ever say that?
No, I say Steve Ewan, 101.9 FM.
You don't.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't because university station, Steve,
yeah,
no longer allowed in Vancouver Canucks game day dressing rooms.
Really?
Yeah. They put the hammer down on us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I get over it. Believe me.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's fine with me.
They didn't ask me for my opinion on that issue.
Well, why didn't you do some research? You should have been on top of the game. You should have gone on it.
Sorry, buddy.
You know, I appreciate the apology.
Okay.
Awesome. We're here with Steve Ewan from the Vancouver Province. Steve, you're...
But we're out of time after that whole long answer.
Oh, you should have seen the intro to the show today. We've got 4:30 to 5 to talk about UBC sports. The first 7-8 minutes,
yeah,
pure filth.
Attaboy.
Pure nothing. Anyway, Steve, how are we doing, first of all?
Fine, thanks for asking.
How's your book coming along?
Oh, it's struggling, you know that.
I know, I had to ask.
I had to take that little dig in and just kind of jab me, thanks. That's a good way to start with a guest.
You could there's several ways to get me, though, I will say. Steve Ewan from the Vancouver Province.
For people that don't know, I'm doing a book on the whole baseball wild card system.
I did more wild card stuff last week. Steve, World Series, you watching it right now?
No.
What?
I'm writing a story for tomorrow's paper.
You're writing a story for tomorrow. It's Game 3 of the World Series.
I know. I'm turning it on right now.
This is who I'm debating wild card with.
Okay.
Is a guy that's not even watching Game 3 of the World Series. But, Steve, we'll start off. Vancouver Giants. Overtime loss on the season. Looking pretty awesome.
They're playing exceedingly well. I think they've got that whole hard-working mentality that really started to develop 2 years ago and you know, became their personality last year. And you know, they're very strong defensively. They have a very good defense. They have... you know, they're strong in goal, and I mean, they're a tough team to play against. That's their whole shtick.
And Steve, you teased us in the paper last week sometime that Gilbert Brule might be returning to the Vancouver Giants. I take it with him now scoring a little for Columbus that's over?
It's still hard to say. I mean, they've got a bunch of forwards. Sergei Fedorov's coming back, and they're Alexander Svitov? They're very happy with as well, and I think they have to figure out whether or not he can play on their top two lines, and if he can't play on their top two lines, can he develop getting 5 or 6 or 7 minutes a game? So
there's still it could happen any time, is what you're saying. Once Fedorov comes back,
yeah, well, he's back already.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed
that. Yeah, but I don't think it's out of the question yet. I think he's had a big couple of games. But I think to be 19 and be playing in the NHL is you know, there's not a lot of guys that pull that off in this day and age, you know, even with expansion and wild cards.
And, Steve, my understanding is, and I'm pretty sure on this one, if he is sent back to junior, Vancouver's got him through the Memorial Cup.
Barring some sort of bizarre situation in Columbus, yes.
Why? What can happen?
Well, if they have a bunch of injuries, they can call them up on an emergency basis.
Oh, they can do that. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, but chances are if they send him down...
He would play World Juniors, so Vancouver would lose him for that period as well.
Okay, well, that would be pretty cool to watch, too. But the Giants in general, we got some draft pick guys to watch this year.
Guys for this upcoming draft?
Yeah.
That's correct. Three kids, a kid named John Blum, a defenseman, who actually had a meeting with Dean Lombardi, the Los Angeles Kings, on Saturday night. So that you know, the fact that the LA Kings GM was here wanting to talk to him tells you that he must be, you know, pretty highly thought of. A kid named Michael Repik, a right winger, Czech kid, a very dynamic with a puck, very kind of explosive and fun to watch. And another fellow by the name of Spencer Mahochuk from Lethbridge, a right winger as well, kind of a more of a hard working, gritty, get his nose dirty kind of guy.
So there you go, Vancouver Giants. What are they right now, Steve? 10-0-1 is their record?
Something like that, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
And, Steve, your comment is UBC Thunderbirds hockey. You got to we talked about it at the beginning of the show here. Huh? You got to cover this team during some doldrum times. 3-3 this year, and they, on the weekend, in Whistler, beat the Alberta Golden Bears 4-3 in a shootout. Two strange things to say for a UBC team, winning in Whistler and winning in a shootout, but impressed with what Milan Dragicevic, former Vancouver Giant coach. I mean, it's pretty crazy what he's done with this team in a pretty short period of time.
I think he's a guy who's busted his tail and gotten out, and you see him a lot at Giants games and you know, just talking to guys and trying to sell guys on coming to the T-Birds, and you know, I think you're starting to see a better quality guy come there, and I think it was just a matter of time. I think it was just a matter of getting two or three guys, and then all of a sudden, it kind of fed on itself.
How big is a Mitch Bartley signing for this team?
Mitch Bartley, I think he had 3 30-goal seasons in the WHL. I mean, he's a legitimate scorer, and I mean, he's a guy that had 2 NHL free agent tryouts. He could be a very good player for 5 years in this league. I mean, he was a legitimate first line winger on a team that went to the Memorial Cup last year.
But just for UBC to get that kind of player, you would not have seen that 6 or 7 years ago. How did Dragicevic get him? Did you see it happen at Giants games at all?
He played for him.
Yep.
So I mean, there was a tie there, and I just think of that. That he, you know, I mean, I really liked Mike Coughlin, but I think Dragicevic has better ties in the WHL. I think he just, you know, having been there, I think he really has some connections and you know, has been able to work things.
Awesome. And
I think he's getting more support, too, from the school as well.
You think
that's,
so, hey?
I mean, that's me from the outside looking in, but.
Well, I guess so, because it is pretty remarkable what they've done in a short period of time. Well, I guess it's not that short of a period of time, but still.
Remarkable might be strong.
You know what, Steve?
It's pretty darn good.
Steve, they hadn't beaten Alberta in, I think it was something like
41 times.
Yeah, 41 games. So I'll let that one. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. When they first got here, when Dragicevic first got here, it was trying to make the playoffs in a 7-team league, trying to finish 6th. And they weren't doing it when I was watching, but nonetheless. Major League Baseball.
Yep. One of the great little-known sports in Vancouver.
Is what?
Canada West Hockey.
It is pretty good quality hockey. Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Steve, Major League Baseball.
Steve Ewan, one of the great little-known things in Vancouver.
Oh, you're known. You're in the big paper every day. You're in the big paper every day.
There you go.
Steve, Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Should have something
Gotta
been
know
done.
Know how to hold him.
Should have something been done there.
Yeah, probably. I think it looked a little shady, so to speak, and I think you maybe wonder with a guy that's been around that long if he's got more tricks up his sleeve than the umpires know of.
I blame the umpires, actually. They probably caught him, And you know what, Steve? This is sort of my theory on this. I don't know who was umpiring this game, but it was about 6-7 years ago when all those umpires got fired, and now Major League Baseball has a lot more control over what the umpires do and what they can do in the strike zone and everything. I think 6-7 years ago, before these umpires got booted, Kenny Rogers would have been thrown out of the game. But today, these umpires are just, I think the umpire was scared to do it. I blame the umpire for not pulling the trigger here, not Kenny Rogers. That's a colorful way of cheating as far as I'm concerned.
I think everything's legal until you get caught. And I think
not steroids.
Not steroids. Good point.
Thank you.
Good point. Sorry. Let me rephrase.
And I don't like corking the bat, but a pitcher can cheat any way he can.
You don't like corking the bat?
No, I don't like corking the bat. That's dirty, too. But it's definitely better than steroids. It's definitely better than steroids.
Okay, I'm glad we're kind of making a little laundry list of Daryl Wiener's likes and dislikes.
Thank you.
And rating them.
Thank you. I've got them. So, Steve, do you think he should have been thrown out, though? You do, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think that's cheating. And I think, I applaud him for being creative in the event that that's what he was doing. But I think it's a little bit shady.
Who do you like in the series? Game 2 going on right now. Chris Carpenter on the mound versus Nate Robinson of the Tigers. We're in the Game 3 going on right now. Thank you, Wilson. Game 3. Any score
yet?
Good
job, Wilson.
Any score yet, Steve?
I believe we're at zeros. I'm just watching a commercial with Jay-Z and Dale Earnhardt and Danica Patrick. I have no idea what they're selling.
But we're all going to buy it, aren't we?
We're all going to. If Jay-Z wants me to buy it, I am so going to buy it because that's how I roll.
I did recently buy...
Oh, sorry. It looks like... it's Budweiser, folks.
Budweiser. Let's go get some Budweiser.
Jay-Z is selling Budweiser.
I did recently buy car insurance because of Mini-Me. That's not
true. Well,
there
you go.
But you know the Geico? Is it Geico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm big into the Geico, although I think it's Scott Rintoul.
Steve, who do you like in this? Who do you like in the series?
You just let that go?
I'm letting that go. Who do you like in the playoff series, the World Series?
I'm more an National League guy. I'm more old school pitcher hitting kind of guy. But I like the Tigers. I like their pitching with Jeremy Bonderman and Verlander and Zamai and all the, Fernando Rodney. I'm a big Fernando Rodney guy.
Who's a big Fernando Rodney guy?
I just am. I think he's going to be.
Was he a reliever?
He's a reliever.
Okay. I've seen Zamaya. I saw Todd Jones. I saw Walker, the lefty, coming out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I have not seen Fernando Rodney, although it's a great name.
Sorry, man. He's just like a 29-year-old sophomore.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Not bad. Cardinals, though, Steve, I like their pitching. I like Jeff Suppan. I mean, just the way he's going. He's hot right now.
Yeah.
And Carpenter. Big game tonight. If Carpenter can get her done and pitch
whatever
a beauty tonight.
What happened to Mark Mulder, eh?
Garbage, huh?
Kidding.
His
shoulder, I think he might be done.
They moved Danny Heron for him.
Yes.
Danny Heron to Oakland, who they'd love to have him right now. But you know what? Weaver's done pretty good for him. For some strange reason.
For like a journeyman guy, he's been okay.
Yeah, he's been for a while in the playoffs, he's been okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Steve, we got to close up with some UBC stuff here. Appreciate it as always. And when am I going to see you again?
I don't know. You should come over for a barbecue. Invite your listeners. We can hang out.
I love it. Steve Ewan from the Vancouver Province.
Thanks, buddy.
Currently working on his article as we speak. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's about Tristan Grant, former Vancouver Giants captain, being called up to the Philadelphia Flyers and how excited the team is. And Maglio Ordonez just lined out to right field sharply.
Ooh.
Carlos Guillen coming up.
Ooh. All right, should we do one play-by-play at Pat Wilson? All right, Steve, you're play-by-play for us right now.
Well, thank you, Darryl Winter. We're here at the World Series. There's Jim Leyland hanging on the dugout, his good friend Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa, former Vancouver Canadian or Vancouver Mountie?
No.
Yeah.
I'm your color guy. I don't believe you, Steve.
Yeah, I think he played on like the 58 Mounties or something.
Tony La Russa
Carpenter
did?
Wind up the pitch. Low inside, ball one.
Tony La Russa played for the Vancouver Mounties?
I believe that is correct.
Wilson, can you get a photo of that? You're like the... No, I'm kidding. But okay. All right, so what's the count, Steve?
1-0 to Carlos Guillen. A little chopper back to the mound. Carver fields it, throws him out. 2-2.
Awesome. Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. We had to have been breaking some law there, huh?
I think so. I think there's probably some sort
of... Somebody probably has these.
The CRTC is on line one.
Well, somebody probably does have exclusive rights for calling World Series games. Although it would be cool, Wilson, if we could do play-by-play off of the TV. Like, we just called the World Series.
It really would be... It would really be cool if we ended up in jail for calling... badly calling the World Series on the radio.
What are you in for? calling the World Series on a campus radio station?
Good. We got a Pudge just grounded out to Ronnie Belliard and his bad hair, and that's 3-3. Do up for your Cardinals. Rolling Belliard and Vancouver Canadian stalwart Jim Edmonds.
Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province, keeping everybody
Steve Ewan
informed.
And not going to be a play-by-play guy anytime soon.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks,
talk
buddy.
To you soon. What'd you think? Well, you're on three now. What'd you think?
That was not bad.
Was that not? Should we hire him? Should we ask Steve? Maybe we
don't,
can...
we don't do baseball anymore. Though.
We lost our rights.
We did.
We suck, hey?
You suck.
Well, we lost football. We lost baseball, but we've still got
basketball,
women's basketball,
which is the best, anyways.
Yeah, and some men's, and men's ice hockey. I like the fact we have men's ice hockey. That's good, awesome. Wilson Wong back with us now in studio. So how's the last hour and 10 minutes been for you?
It's been all right. The World Series going on.
Yeah,
kind of boring.
The land of boring? Is that
Oh, kind of boring.
Oh, kind of boring.
But Steve really brought to you the excitement of that game well.
He did. I did feel like I was actually at the game.
Just like he was.
I did feel. He did bring me closer to the action. Awesome. We're here with Wilson Wong right now. And to close out the show, we got a little cut off as I rambled on.
As you never do.
As I never do. As I never do. Anyways, Wilson, let's get back into some UBC Thunderbird sports before we end up the show. What football.
Football,
Men's football. They're playing at home on Friday night. I missed it. Friday night versus the Manitoba Bisons. Big game for this football team.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, they have a playoff berth clinched. It's all about numbers and tiebreakers.
Oh, hell.
But they're looking very good.
Is it possible them not to get it?
I don't even know
if it is, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a good good hold on that spot, barring something really weird. But, they really wanted that win against Calgary. I mean, Calgary's a winless team. UBC had already beaten them. They crushed SFU coming in. They were able to maybe get a little bit of resting time for some of the players, although the coaches didn't make it a big deal. So maybe it cost them, because I spoke to Graham Best yesterday, one of the linebackers, and he said just playing SFU with 3 days rest and then going against Calgary really hurt them. He said that 11 guys were injured in that game during that whole Calgary game. So he thinks at least it played a part. In that you're shaking your head.
I always hear that. I'm sorry. I understand.
Maybe it's true.
I always hear it with the bye week. And you know what then? I have to say it because I always hear it. Every time almost with this bye week. I hear it a lot at least where, you're too rested. And you get the this is what I'm sort of I gather here with these kind of things is, we had too much rest. Oh, not enough rest. I mean, come on. You're going to have to deal with this. And you know what? You know what I say then is in that game versus SFU, they should have sat a lot of guys in that game. I mean, that's really what you got to look at. And so you can stay fresh for the weekend. I know you don't want to do that, but maybe that's how you have to look at it, is we're sort of going to have two squads playing in these games with certain players.
Well, you know what? You're not going to get any easier of a two-game stretch than two winless teams in 4 days.
And they played SFU pretty recently before the other
SFU. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, other teams have played like Saskatchewan or Alberta on that second day, the second game. So, I mean, UBC had it pretty easy compared
Alberta,
to some of the squads.
I'm sorry. Calgary twice, who's got one win, one of them against UBC, and SFU, who's got...
Exactly.
And, you know, Wilson, you got to start saying it. In today's sports,
overtime loss. When did that come in? It used to be loss. Do you remember when Yurke Lume scored a game-winning goal in overtime against the Detroit Red Wings?
And it was a big deal.
Remember he went end-to-end? Do you know the goal I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
He went end-to-end and he scored. That was a huge... Watching your team win in overtime was a huge deal. And as soon as they went to this one-point loss
Right. Where, like, everyone gets points.
Everybody! Hooray for everybody! That's what that is. It's hooray for everybody!
Or everything.
Elsewhere, so they've got Manitoba on the weekend. Tough game for them. Yeah. Elsewhere on the weekend, Wilson, the volleyball team's getting going here.
Yeah, they opened their week. They opened their regular season this week on the road in Manitoba against Winnipeg. Not really sure what how strong this Winnipeg team is. Actually, I don't think they were. They're not really traditional powers here in the Canada West. And the UBC women's team is rebuilding. They lost a whole bunch of fifth-year players from last year that made it to the silver medal game in the the CIS. That was sort of a heartbreaker that they lost and got silver. So they're kind of rebuilding for this year, whereas the men's team really building now. They lost only one senior from last season. That's Richie Chu, the Libro, and brought in a couple of new international transfer students. And they're looking really strong.
And men's soccer, Wilson, three home games, it says here. Three home games. Simon Fraser, Lethbridge, and Calgary this week.
Simon Fraser is an exhibition game.
Yeah.
They call it the Soccer City Cup, playing tomorrow at Swangard. So UBC and SFU playing for, I guess, a nice little trophy or something, cross-town rivalry. And then the two Canada West games, that'll be big. UBC, of course, they can't host the playoffs.
They lost Alberta.
Alberta on the weekend, so they won't be hosting any playoffs, but of course they want to get some momentum going in there as well.
And the women's soccer team, big game on the weekend, Wilson, defeating the top-ranked Victoria Vikings. I'm going to say Vikings.
And you're going to get an email from Victoria or something.
2-0. The women's soccer team, they've got two games this week at home. Lethbridge, and I didn't know this. Did we miss the boat on this one? They're playing a game here. It says Thunderbird Stadium.
Yeah.
We were told no games at Thunderbird Stadium when we were making our schedule. We could have done one of those games if they had had their act together.
Yeah, I guess they changed it or something, but UBC, the women's team, is the hottest team on campus right now.
Can't score against them.
Six straight wins without giving up a goal, so they're looking really great going to the playoffs, and I don't think these last two games will be too much trouble considering how well they're playing right now. I mean, Victoria had only dropped one game where they didn't get the three full points this year. They were like 9-0-1 going in against UBC, so it was a pretty big deal for UBC to go out there and beat Victoria.
And Wilson, you got some golf.
I do.
You've got some golf.
Yeah, the men's team was at Santa Clara these last couple of days, and they just finished today, actually. The UBC men's team had a great finish in their tournament. They finished in a tie for third at Santa Clara, finishing behind UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, and the University of San Francisco. And a couple of UBC golfers finished really well. David Stewart finished in the tie for ninth in the individual competition, six shots back. And Corey Renfrew was tied for 11th at 2 over. The winning score was 5 over, and the team finished about 8 shots back as a group.
Awesome. So that's our UBC report, our NFL report. Michael Vick looked great, and a lot of kickers had really long field goals hit.
That pretty much summed it up.
There you go. Awesome. Thank you for listening to Wieners Barbecue, folks. I'd like to thank Wilson Wong, Julio Caravada, Casey Archibald, Vern Knopp, Dave Chernichan. I think that's everybody.
Steve Ewan.
Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Thanks for listening. Eric with Fletcher Head is coming up right after this.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe?